And I can... Joan, have I not half an hour? I'm obviously have. I'm going to read about the bird, the burnt Welsh bed, all the same. An item of pure fantasy. I dare say it seems a bit strange, but I keep thinking about Welshmen burning feather beds. And this is because of a cutting that was in the Holyhead and Anglesey Mail, which contains the following advertisements, all over the same box number. Feather beds wanted for export. Urgent. Do not destroy. Best prices paid. You'll collect at your convenience. Feather beds urgently required for use. Again, best prices paid. Please help. Old feather beds urgently wanted for export. Top prices paid. They are very valuable, so don't burn them. It's this repeated word urgent that makes it impossible simply to dismiss these Welshmen burning feather beds from the mine. There must be a tremendous tussle going on up there. Some sort of conflict between old and new. Not knowing the true and the marvellous facts, we are compelled to supply some kind of interpretation of our own. To begin with, why Anglesey? And yet, why not? Such is the compulsive power of print that once we have seen this unforgettable advertisement, in some curious way, Anglesey and North Wales generally do seem the best places to look for feather beds. We've only seen Anglesey, all rolling fields and telegraph poles, on our way to Holyhead in summer, the pastoral isle that once supplied all Wales with wheat. But when the winter gales howl in from the sea over Anglesey, when the great mountains of the mainland, unstared at now by the frivolous tourists, are a terror and a solitude in the dark, when ancient sea voices echo among the stormy passes, then the Welsh, safe in their solid grey houses, turn over snugly in their ancestral feather beds, magic beds, filled with feathers plucked from magic Welsh geese by goose girls, softly crooning old incantations against evil. Yet the world is changing. The 20th century penetrates the innermost valleys. Modernistic brick factories with outworks of silvery pipes and tanks appear here and there. Associated Ethyl have a bromine extraction plant in Anglesey. Young physicists with wives and babies appear, looking for lodgings. Men in rubber boots climb out of cars and set up theodolites. 3 months later, there's electricity. Following them come the carpetbaggers, the sellers of television sets, of cocktail cabinets, of divans. Silently, stubbornly, the Welsh resist. Perhaps a wife might be tempted by the divan salesman's patter and timidly tell her husband when he comes home, but he, black eyes flashing, thumps the table. Damn, get rid of the old feather bed. Is it that my Diane is dying before him? You tell Ivan the divan to stay away from here, woman. And yet, these feather bed exporters have obtained a foothold. And another question cries out for answer. Where is this export market? One reads of Welsh communities in Patagonia or Chile who have preserved the old language and traditions intact. One sees them as a sort of South American Texans, beefy men with big off-white hats and startling ties, owning a million sheep or a silver mine, yet at the same time living in a rigid 19th century atmosphere in vast Victorian mansion ranches or ranchons, where the greatest success symbol is a genuine feather bed imported from the homeland. Or has the whole trade been created simply by clever advertising in the New Yorker, like so many other fantasies of Europe, by gorgeous colour photography of girls in bed and copy saying, all through the night she slumbers softly on magic Welsh feathers. Then there are problems of shipment. It was probably discovered early on that an export cargo of feather beds, all space and no weight, was either dangerous because of the ship bouncing about in the Atlantic or uneconomic because of the cost of ballast. So the enterprising exporters developed a method of compressing the beds for shipment so that they looked like awful sheets of cardboard to be sprayed with water and heated again and expanded at the other end. That's what the machinery in their modernistic factory is for. and perhaps they built a special deep water port with docks for the characteristic round stern bed boats. Or perhaps they use Holyhead. In fact, I'm sure they do use Holyhead. That's why no one ever takes any notice of passengers in those great empty sheds. They're all busy on the other side of the wall, working three shifts at bed compressing and loading. But still the Welsh resist. Bards, musicians and poets roam the valleys, playing on their harps and singing to the people prophecies of doom for Wales if she loses her feather beds. There are scuffles with the bed company's spies and agents, and at night the long hillsides are dotted with twinkling fires round which ancient defiant songs are sung as the smell of roasting feathers fills the air. At least I hope so. I'm going to end this bit.